This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing of Litchfield. And by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobin Ott, thank you very much. David Jenkins also joining us in our WSMI studios this morning.
It was an awesome introduction.
Hey, Toby, we need rosters, don't we, buddy?
Yeah. It's,
we got to have rosters.
You're switching it up on me.
People think we remember this stuff. We don't. We have cheat sheets.
Well, we have a roster, but it wasn't in numerical order, so it did us no good. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, and I think everyone's riding a little high this morning after a full night of high school football, and what a night it was, as we had a lot of great games around the area, and it's always fun and exciting to get not only the high school football season kicked off, but the start of the football season. It's the start of a brand new athletic season, and we're off and rolling now for months.
And what's really amazing is that around here, some of the games were pushed back maybe 30 minutes for a later start, but in the northern half of the state, tons and tons of football games postponed till tonight because they just felt it was way too hot. So the guys around here, they've been out practicing. They were ready to go.
Is that what happened with Mount Olive and Oblong?
No,
or were they
just
originally scheduled?
No, regular schedule thing.
Scheduled. Yeah.
And you mentioned last night in the pregame show, Terry, about the memo the IHSA sent out last night. And kudos to the IHSA for making that call. Basically, the games were longer as a result of that. But I think that we saw a lot less cramping and a lot less dehydration than we would have seen normally if they hadn't taken those types of precautions.
Well, and the good thing about it was there are some officiating crews that have done that in years past. But now the IHSA says it's mandatory. We're going to do it when it's hot like this. And that's good for them to step in and say, hey, this is going to be part of the norm now. We're not going to get anybody dehydrated, overheated. And if it looks like somebody's getting that way, we're going to stop the game and we're going to make sure that they're okay, because we don't want to put anybody at risk.
Yeah, and most of the schools, and probably all of them now, take precautions. They have people on the sidelines in case someone does, get too warm or suffers cramps or something. They're there and ready to attack that situation, where a few years ago,
it is amazing the number of trainers you will see on the sidelines. I mean, they're well represented.
Absolutely. And very necessary. This is a, it might be high school football, but it's still kind of a gladiatorial type game, and people are going to get whopped upside the head and knocked over, and that you're going to get your bumps and bruises. So
football is football. It is football, and there's no taking away. It's a contact sport, and there's injuries.
Well, injuries are definitely part of the game, and unfortunately, injuries played a big factor last night in Greenville, as the Greenville Comets defeated the Litchfield Purple Panthers. It wound up being a relatively wide margin in terms of the final score, 54-27, but David, we were there. That game was a lot closer than that. Litchfield was winning 21-7 late in the first half, was winning 21-13 at halftime, but then Ryan Howard, their starting quarterback, injured his knee early in the third quarter, making a tackle on the Comet sideline, and he had to be helped off the field, was on crutches the rest of the game, had a big bag of ice on his knee. Obviously, we don't know what the extent of the knee injury was, but it didn't look good at the time, and it was one of those situations where once he got hurt, Litchfield maybe relaxed for just a moment, kind of hung their heads. That's a human, natural human reaction. You see one of your buddies, one of your pals get hurt. It's just a natural reaction to just kind of take a step back for a moment. They just relaxed for literally like 3 minutes of game action, and Greenville put 28 points on the board.
Yeah, it was a game changer, because at that point, Litchfield had been matching Greenville punch for punch, pound for pound. But when Howard went down, and even though they did score, Greenville ended up scoring on that drive that Howard got injured on. And then Litchfield came back with an 85-90-yard kick return to put themselves on the two-yard line, and ended up scoring on that drive. But after that, I mean, it was just all the momentum.
And Greenville typically has that quick strike.
That's what they do.
Quick strike capability, especially in the second half of ball games. I mean, it's just it's almost like a tale of two halves. They're not quite really warmed up and loosened up, but once you get the second half of the Comets, boom.
We've seen it time and time again.
And
it was
year
essentially
year.
The same thing that happened in last year's Greenville-Litchfield game. You know, Litchfield hung with them for the first half, and I think maybe we're trailing by maybe 3 points at halftime, and then the third quarter happened and Greenville opened up probably a 21-point lead.
I will say this about Litchfield, though. They looked like a different club to me.
Yes,
mentality-wise, they looked completely different in the Pat Rince era because they came out power sets.
Yeah.
I mean, they came out double-wing power football, and it was working.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be curious to see if it's in fact the same style of offense that Pat Rince ran when he was quarterback at Litchfield, because it looked pretty similar.
And Terry, you know, we've talked for years about high school coaches. Yeah. You got to get a guy from your town. Pat Rince is a Litchfield,
he's a Litchfield guy.
He's a Litchfield guy. That makes a difference. I don't know why it makes a difference, but it does.
And maybe it makes a difference more for football than any other sport, because of it's the first big athletic thing going on in the fall. School's back in session. There's kind of a mystique around it, you know, the fall days and that sort of thing. And Pat, of course, came from a program that I think might have been part of the last team that made the playoffs for
Litchfield. Right there, yeah.
So he led the first team to make it to the playoffs in quite a long time.
Yeah. So, you know, he's known some success and just a positive guy. I mean, you know, it's interesting to see how they're going to react. And I would suspect Litchfield will probably bounce back.
I think
here in week number two, and Pat Rince is not going to let anybody feel sorry for them.
No, I think the Litchfield football program is headed in the direction that
they wanted
it
to go.
It would be.
Yeah.
So. And you look at last night. We've had an unseasonable week this past week with the heat, and probably in the Litchfield Greenville in that game at the half. You said Litchfield's ahead. But then in the second half, Greenville comes out, and part of this can be a numbers game too. You know, you got more athletes, you're doubled up at positions, and the same guy, and some guys have to play both sides of the ball. And when it's 90 degrees and you're doing that, buddy, it's tough.
Greenville's a powerhouse.
Yeah,
they've got,
they are.
I think, 8 of the 11 starters back on offense. 3 of their 5 offensive linemen are back. They got Little Hutch back behind center. They still got Dalton Young, all sorts of playmakers. This is a stacked team. They're going to be just as good this year as they have been the last number of years.
Well, last year, there was kind of a surprise year, I think, for the Comets. They were probably more successful than what they thought they were going to be. But this year, the expectations are extremely high.
Yes, no doubt about
it. When we spoke to I think it was the Greenville broadcaster before the game, he said, you know, replacing Cameron Walter is going to be the key. If Eric Turok can come in at that running back position and fill that hole, then they'll be all right. And he and Theo Gibbs last night certainly did that.
You know, Terry, you'll understand this. To me, Greenville football is like Southwestern,
basketball.
Lady Pius Allbirds basketball.
Until you knock them off, they're the best.
That's exactly right. You know, people can tell me that this is going to be a down year, whatever. I don't believe it.
No.
Until it happens, until I see it with my own peepers, I will not believe it.
And you look at teams like that. You got Greenville in football. You got Nokomis boys basketball. You got Southwestern girls basketball. I mean, there are just certain teams that, okay, don't make any difference how they start out. It's how they finish.
Tradition
and
expectation.
And they usually finish pretty strong. So,
yes, they do.
You know, there are certain teams that are just like that. So.
And when you get that tradition, it's normal for the athletes to want to be part of that action.
And that's the thing about the Greenville program. These guys, or these kids now, who are freshmen, sophomores, they've been sitting in those stands since they were little ones, watching Greenville just roll people up week after week after week, and now they are here on the sideline.
And now Litchfield's got their opportunity with Pat Rince in it at the head coaching spot. And I think Pat is – probably got a program that's ready to burst onto the scene here and make some noise in the South Central Conference. Not going to make any predictions as far as a record is concerned, but as a coach, when you come into a program, you look for improvement every week. And improvement could come in many different ways.
Well, that's exactly it. Like the final score, I don't care about the final score last night. Litchfield competed in that ball game. They were with Greenville, stride for stride, step for step. When you lose your starting quarterback early in the third quarter, I don't care what team you are. If you're the Greenville Comets and you lose your starting quarterback in the third quarter, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
A team loses their starting quarterback, you're in trouble. It's like if a major league team loses their pitcher in the first inning to injury.
Yes.
You're in trouble that night.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
And you know
that's
what?
That's how it works.
And if you have to burn through your bullpen, you could be in trouble for a long time.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I guess that's why the Cardinals left left her pitcher in last night till he got his brains beat out.
Well, he didn't look extremely confident on the mound.
No, he didn't.
That can happen sometimes.
And yeah, he's a rookie. So when we come back, we'll check the rest of the scores.
Yep, we're going to have the Fighting Illini coming up at 10:30 this morning here on FM 106. Sports Saturday will take you right up to Fighting Illini football. When we come back, we're going to start talking to our area football coaches as Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
And let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. A heat advisory is in effect until 7 o'clock tonight. Partly cloudy skies for today with a slight chance for some rain. Expect a high of around 95 degrees. Partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers continuing on for tonight. We'll have a low of around 70. Heading into Sunday, partly cloudy skies. Still a chance for some rain on Sunday. Expect a high, once again, of around 90 degrees. Extended forecast for you Labor Day through Wednesday. Clear and cooler. Expect highs in the upper 80s. The lows will be in the low 60s. At 9:16, we have a temperature reading of 84 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Tired of always having to clean up the basement or crawl space after a rain? You need to call Midwest Basement Tech for a permanent solution. If it's leaking, cracking, buckling, or sinking, Midwest Basement Tech is the company to call. 1-800-848-9805. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years with local service techs and free estimates. Call now, 1-800-848-9805. Or on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com for money-saving coupons and your chance of receiving free tickets to watch your St. Louis Cardinals play at home this season.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
Back on WSMI Sports Saturday here on FM 106, and we're going to be talking to Chad Easterday coming up in just a moment. But Terry, while we have a moment here, you got some scores out of the South Central Conference for us?
Certainly. As you mentioned, Greenville beat Litchfield 54-27. The Hilltoppers played well in the second half last night. Their second half was better than Southwestern's first half, and the Toppers win at 33-19. Carlinville rolled over Roxana 45-15. Gillespie beat Vandalia 46-12, and Staunton beat Painted 28-13 in South Central play.
You mentioned the Cavies' big win last night at Roxana. Joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. And Chad, thanks for a few minutes of your time. And I guess it's always fun to get another football season off and rolling.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. We got a lot of questions answered last night. I think both about our team and where we are and our depth a little bit. So, it was great to get one in the right column.
One name, Kenny Miles.
Yeah, he had a good team last night. That's what I hear. the Dalton Telegraph asked me about him and about Ladarius and those kids, and I said, I'm very, very fortunate to coach at a school that has a rich, rich, very rich football tradition. And as I've told you guys before, I'm not responsible for it. I just am responsible to keep it going. So Kenny Miles is an outstanding running back, and he unfortunately was around two kids last year that were great running backs as well. So you know, those are situations where it was his night and his time, and we're really expecting some good things from him as the season goes on.
Chad, what was your off-season program like with the way your season ended a year ago? What was the mentality of your kids during their off-season work?
Reload. I mean, that was our motto. We have it up in the weight room, and I've heard Andy Easton say it 10,000 times, and reload. You know, we've graduated 6,000 or 8,000 yard rushing backs, and we lose two, and hopefully we gain two. And you know, we took a little different face offensively to one of them, a little more one back set type stuff, and I thought our kids did a great job with that, and Kenny really excelled in that last night.
Chad, how did you guys come out injury wise? I know that's always a concern, especially in the first week of the season.
We came out really, really well, so we were very pleased with that. We were actually very pleased with our kids' condition. As in that hot weather, we really felt we wore on them a little bit, and we thought maybe that was the difference in the ball game.
Chad, you got one game under your belt now, and of course it was a winner, but as you look at the South Central, it looks like competition is going to be pretty tough from top to bottom, does it not?
Yeah, it is. You know, we spent a lot of time talking. There's a lot of great coaches in South Central, and seem to be very balanced this year with the attack. And I know everyone talks about what they lost, but people don't realize what they got back to. So, you know, that's very exciting for me personally, because, you know, you never have a week off in the South Central.
Chad, talk a little bit about your defense, if you could. Really, any football team goes as far as their defense will take them. What do you think about your defense this year?
Well, we were worried about that, and we thought Jeffrey Hart and Zach Rogers really stepped up in the middle there to replace some people, and we were very happy to see that. You know, I thought we had that bend but don't break philosophy, and we stepped up last night and really made some tackles and improved there, and have a little bit to go. But, you know, defensively speaking, I thought we did pretty well, and that was a goal this winter because, you know, we gave up 20 points a game last year, and we really were trying to get that number down around 14.
Well, Chad, congratulations on a victory in week number one. We always appreciate some of your time on Saturday mornings, and we will talk to you next week, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, and you heard it there. Reload.
Yep. And that's a philosophy. If you're going to be successful, whether it's basketball, football, whatever it is, that's the philosophy you have to have. We're not going to rebuild. We're going to reload.
Man, he was chomping at the bit after the end of last season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and it's always a tall order to replace a running back who got a scholarship from a Division I school. Yeah. So I guess they did that all right last night.
If any school can do it, it's Carlinville. Yeah, because they do just seem to have just back after back after back come out of that program. It's staggering, really.
It really is. It really, really is. So they do a great job over there. And
you know, Terry, probably the thing that doesn't get talked about enough with that, they're not just growing on trees over there.
No, they've
got a program and a system. It goes back to the days of Dave Jokic with his speed training and camps, and it just kind of has progressed from there. But it's not just some sort of miracle that they're putting something in the water to make this happen. They know what they're doing.
Carlinville football is one of those teams that there's expectations that are high, extremely high, each and every year. I mean, we mentioned Greenville, we mentioned Southwestern Girl, you know, but that's another one of those teams where the expectation, you come into this program expecting to do good things.
Well, and you're,
and you know, your whole mindset is you're playing to win instead of playing not to lose.
And when your varsity head football coach is also, you know, in charge of running the JFL, that's a good start, too.
That makes
doesn't
a
hurt.
Difference.
Doesn't hurt a bit.
Speaking of tradition, we've got a man joining us on the phone right now who knows a little thing or two about tradition, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, Mr. Aaron Duff, good enough to give us a few minutes of his time. And I guess, Duffy, before we really get into football, how you feeling?
Excellent.
Especially after last night, buddy.
Yeah. No, I feel really good.
That's good.
Very good to hear. So, another season underway, and I would imagine starting with the victory makes your food taste a little bit better.
Yes, yeah, it feels really good to be 1-0 after the first week and, you know, seeing some good things on the field, but, you know, also looking at the bad things, trying to fix them for next week.
Duffy, Southwestern's never an easy team to play against because they're always in your face.
Yeah, I mean, especially week one, you know, they're usually, you know, pretty big team, they have good size. And this year, you know, it was a little even more tough because the new head coach, you know, heard rumors about what they might do. But, you know, we sort of went in blind a little bit. And, it was really nice coming out with the win last night.
Toppers were the guinea pigs this year for the new coach at Southwestern to see what he was actually going to do. So
that's always one of the different aspects of high school football, of course, Duffy. There are no preseason games, so week one really kind of is a crapshoot in a sense.
Oh yeah, like I said, we prepared for everything. But week one is a little tougher in that aspect where you're trying to prepare and not knowing exactly what you're going to see.
Coach, you were down 13-0 after one and 19-6 at halftime. What were the kinds of things you were expressing to your players, you know, trying to keep them calm at each break to let them know, you know, hey, we're still in this and we can make a run?
Offensively, I said, you know, we're moving the ball pretty much every time we want. We've just made a couple mistakes. We put the ball on the ground a couple times. So I just trying to stress that we're okay, we're still in this. Being down 19-6 at halftime, two scores down, we still thought we were okay if we just come out and play a second half. So, you know, just trying to keep their minds in it and, you know, not let them think the game's over.
And you've got to be pleased with the defense not allowing a single point in the second half.
Yep, that's all coaching.
Duffy, how'd you come out injury-wise? It was a hot night on the field, of course, and how'd you come out injury-wise?
Pretty good. A couple little things here and there, but as far as I know, pretty good.
Duffy, I'm just curious, in the off season, what was your focal point? What was the thing you were really trying to get instilled in your players during this past off season?
During the off season was pretty much changing our whole offense and installing a new offense. We are not blessed with a whole lot of size. We had one kid over 200 pounds starting on the offensive line, and trying to install this new offense and get it working.
How tricky is that, I guess, from a coaching philosophy? I guess it's the biggest aspect to coaching is adjusting to your personnel.
Right, yeah. I mean, you've got to look at things when you see what you have and try to adjust to that. And hopefully last night was a step towards that for the rest of the season.
We'll get a nice road test next week on the road at Staunton. And that is setting up to be a very physical football game.
Yeah, Staunton's pretty good. I know the quarterback is, going to be a big test to contain him. He's a very good football player. And I haven't watched any film on Staunton yet this morning, but I know there'll be a good football team.
Well, Duffy, we appreciate a few minutes of your time. Congratulations on the 1-0 start, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Good to hear Duffy. And
yes,
Duffy's doing well, and the Toppers off to a good start. Staunton-Hillsboro, that's a big game early in the season next week in the South Central Conference, week number two. You don't want to say big game, but it's a big game.
Well, especially obviously with every game being a conference game. Yeah. Magnified.
I think you're looking at teams that are in the upper echelon of the conference more than likely, and we'll have, you know, a lot to say.
Those are two clubs I think that have playoffs on their mind, no doubt about it. Of course, Staunton kind of didn't finish real strong a year ago. Looked like they were a lock for the playoffs, and I think they lost out maybe the last three or four ball games and ended up 4-5. So, you know, they're out to prove a point this year. And the Toppers, they've been down out of the playoffs for several years in a row now, so you know they are just itching to get back in that postseason.
And, you know, I was honored, I guess you'd say, this week to get a quote on football from our good friend, Stewie.
Oh, boy.
Hold on,
the delay's not on.
I asked him how things was going at Greenville, and he said, well, we got a lot of freshmen this year, new ones. Kids coming in, and he said, you have to learn to relate to them. And I said, no, wait a minute, don't we have that backwards? They got to learn how to relate to you. And he said, well, maybe that's the way it is.
It's a two-way street, right?
Well, we have a chance here. Let's throw in a few other scores. In one Prairie State Conference game last night, Metro East Lutheran beat Bunker Hill 34-27. In the Sangamo, Pawnee down North Mac 44-29. Auburn rolled over Pleasant Plains 56-21. Athens got by Riverton 22-14. New Berlin beat Porta 25-18. Shocking that Williamsville won on opening night.
Sangamon
Valley 46-6.
But it's shocking they actually allowed 6 points.
They actually allowed 6 points. That's the shock, yeah. And some non-conference scores. Nokomis beat up on Westland last night 52-14. Palestine got by Kincaid South Fork 20-19. and Greenfield lost to Brown County 8-6. So,
you know,
it's caught up with our area teams.
In watching the scores this morning on TV from the St. Louis area, East St. Louis has got a freshman running back, and it had clips of him running for two touchdowns last night. I swear this kid's got wings. And he's just a freshman.
Well, let's play for the Flyers.
Yeah.
He played for the Flyers. You're right there, Tim.
Coming up tonight, a non-conference matchup at Mount Olive. The Wildcats play host to Oblong, so in non-conference play tonight. So football season tis here.
It is upon us.
You know, guys, we talked about the heat that we had last night, and maybe one of the biggest concerns would be the fact that it wasn't really hot all summer during all the workouts. You know, during the practice, the preseason practices, it was pretty nice. Hey. You know, a lot of pleasant days. Now, all of a sudden, game week, and you get slapped in the face with 100 degrees.
Well, you had 50-degree nights, a few of those nights early in August near the start of the, you know, the training sessions. It's goofy, but, you know, it's Illinois. And
it happens.
Weather in Illinois is goofy.
I didn't.
It's always goofy.
I didn't hear any reports at the Hillsborough game, but I guess Donnie Down survived the up in the bleachers. He didn't pass out or anything. I didn't hear any reports on him. He gets pretty wild at the game.
I don't know. Tobin's probably got an update for you there.
He had his topper clapper thing going.
Did he?
But he was all right. I think he was more worried about the Reds game because I made an announcement on the PA about the Cardinals score and Donnie was kind of egging me on, and I said,
That's shocking.
By the way, the Reds are down 6-1 in Colorado.
How did he get brought into this conversation?
Yeah.
Donnie gets brought into a lot of conversations.
Normally the ones we can't mention on the air.
But, you know, every town has a guy like Donnie Downs, somebody who is just dedicated to the athletic programs, always shows up. Every town has one.
Yeah.
They may not all get as much airtime as Double D get, but every town has one.
Could you in Hillsborough's case said the town has a clown?
I think that would probably be appropriate.
Yeah, it probably would be. Donnie, if you're listening, we'll
he's
love
listening.
You.
Yeah. I slammed the Reds the other week, and he was calling my phone before the show was even over.
Yeah. Well, they have. They have installed a ladder at Reds Field now so they can crawl up every once in a while and look how far they are out of first place.
Oh, boy.
Uncle Ralph said that. We're just past 9:30 here on Saturday morning talking a lot of high school football, and joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs, Mike Parmentier. And, Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, and give us your thoughts on a very impressive opening week victory last night.
So we came out last night, and our young guys played real well in the first half. I was really surprised because we only have one starter back on defense and two on offense. So we came out like gangbusters the first half and played about as good as we could probably play, and luckily we did, because the second half we showed our youth a little bit. We got up 28-0 in the first half, and everything went right for us in the first half, and then the opening kickoff of the second half, Panda takes it right back. And then we had to dig in and, you know, really play hard. And they outplayed us a little bit in the second half. But our kids, I thought they showed a lot of, showed a lot of guts. And it was just a rough night, I think, for everybody in the area with the heat. So we haven't done a lot of conditioning, trying to save their legs for Friday night, so I thought we were a little gassed in the second half. But overall, with the young guys, like I said, I thought I couldn't ask for much better effort from the kids. I thought we played pretty good football and limited turnovers and limited our penalties. And like I said, had some outstanding nights. But overall, the team, offense and defense, special teams did pretty well.
Mike, from a coaching perspective, I would imagine when you've got a young team like you have this year, just kind of take us through your thought process leading up to the game. You said you didn't know what to expect, but that sounds like the calm version.
Yeah, I tried to be patient with them, but I didn't show much patience. We try to have them grow up pretty quick, as fast as we can, I don't know. You know, we took the ball first last night and had a nice drive going, and then Jake Brun ended up, I thought he played an unbelievable ball game last night. He ended up throwing three touchdown passes and ran for another. And Marcus Sitko Jr. played real well. I thought the line was really solid. Dustin Scheller was a starter last year for us on defense for the last 3 years now, and he ran the ball real hard inside, and so he kind of punished everybody inside. But it was just, like I said, it was just an overall group effort. I had another junior, Blaine Ray, took probably 20 to 25 snaps last night at quarterback, and we moved Jake to a halfback spot, Jake Brun, and then he was able to take some breathers when he needed some on offense, and so Blaine came in and did an outstanding job for us as well. So a lot of our underclass role guys did a great job, and then again we got great senior leadership from Brun and Scheller and Jack Jones and Quentin Brown. So like I said, I was really pleased, and you know, especially with the heat, the officials were taking breaks every 4 minutes, which I thought they did an outstanding job with. But it's just, you know, it was just a rough night. Second half, third and fourth quarter, I thought there was there was probably a stoppage of play for a cramp for either a kid from Staunton or Payne last night. So it ended up being a pretty long game. I think it was around 10 o'clock we got finished, even though we started at 7. So it was a long battle last night, but real proud of our kids.
Like we were talking earlier, it was kind of an oddity with this heat coming like it did for the first week of the season, because during the summer practices and preseason workouts, it really wasn't that hot. So it's not like the kids had a chance to get their bodies really acclimated to that type of heat and humidity.
Absolutely. That's what we said. Yeah, just talking to other coaches, and first 5 days of practice were beautiful, and all summer was really nice. And then the first day of our full pads, it's 90 to 95 heat index. And then, all week this week we went helmet and shoulder pads. We didn't even go full this week, and we didn't keep them out there real long. We tried to, touch everything up, and we limited our contact a little bit. And then, conditioning-wise, we really didn't do a whole lot. So that was my big concern last night. Being able to finish the game, and I thought our kids did a really good job with that. So this week, hopefully if this thing breaks, we'll work a lot more on conditioning this week. Well, the kids love to hear that.
Music to the ears on Saturday morning. Thanks, Coach.
Absolutely. That's what we told them. Like, guys, we're going to do a lot more running this week. Hopefully this week turns out to be a better weather pattern for Central Illinois.
When you or in a conference, wherever week's a conference game, there's no let-up. You have to be prepared to go out there and do your best every week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, last night I thought the scores were kind of interesting. There were some very good games, and seemed like, there's a lot of parity in the league. So, like you said, every week in this league, our kids, again, we're gonna have to bring it every week, and for 9 weeks, it's just a tough league and very balanced league. And again, coaches do a great job in our league, and we're just real happy to be fortunate enough to start off 1-0. We've got a heavy early season schedule at home. Our first 3 out of 4 are at home, so we have to take advantage. I think week 5, 6, and 7 we're on the road with Cardinville, Southwestern, and Greenville. So we've got to do real well early in our schedule, if we're wanting to make a playoff push this year. So, again, I think our kids, did a great job last night acclimating again to the weather and the game situations. We made some mistakes, but that first game is just so tough because you just don't know what you've got to, what your weaknesses are, and I would think every coach would probably say that, and what your strengths, and you don't know what the other team's going to throw out at you. So, Payne has made the playoffs the last 5 years, and we were up 28-0, and I felt real good, but I told the kids, they're going to come back, and sure enough, they did. They got a lot of pride over there, and they made it real interesting. We didn't have the ball much in the second half, and they really kind of dominated the second half. So we were fortunate. We played pretty good defense overall. We gave up one offensive touchdown. And then we had the kickoff return immediately to start the second half, Pena did. So like I said, we kind of weathered the storm last night, and like I said, you know, just very happy to come out with that first win.
And, Coach, you said you have a young team, a lot of new guys on the starting line on both sides of the ball. Obviously, those first three of the four games being at home has got to be a huge advantage for you dealing with such a young team.
Absolutely. We were, our kids, you know, even in the red-white scrimmage, our kids were kind of in just shell-shocked and just nervous and, you know, daring the headlight looks. And last night we had kids walking around and just looking like, the, you know, in the pregame. And it was just like, guys, settle down. You know, you've played, you know, two or three years of football, you know, and JFL, of course, but, I mean, you know, JV football and you know, you're stepping up to varsity. It's not a lot. It's different, obviously, but, you know, they were it was just kind of funny. You know, it's a new group. I got guys standing up, walking around. We're like, settle down. Let's sit down. Let's relax.
Is it a case of, Mike, is it a case that maybe we just forget how it was to be a teenager at one time?
Yeah. I think that's kind of it. But we were talking as a coaching staff. You know, our kids last year, we had 30 seniors, and we had them for a while. And so it was just, you know, they were in the calm, cool, collective veteran group that they knew how the routine ran. And now these guys are walking around at 5 o'clock and, you know, and they're jumping up and down and like, hey, we don't have 2 hours until the game. So let's try to conserve some energy here. But they're, like I said, it's a great group. They all work hard and they want to do well. And I thought they gave a great effort last night. I was really, really pleased. And hopefully getting this game under their belt now, hopefully we can relax a little bit and, like I said, come out and play, you know, a full game. You know, we're going to really try to stretch a full game against Hillsboro. I know Coach Steph, they got a big win last night. And, both teams will be 1-0, so I'm hoping we'll have a good crowd. And, the weather should be a heck of a lot better. So.
And, Mike, you know this, but when you play Hillsboro, you know you're going to be in a street fight.
Absolutely. Our kids, when I was at Girard, we were in the Prairie State. We would play Nokomis, and Nokomis and Dan Easterday's teams were just physical. And our kids kind of, Girard kids were tough. I mean, they would hit you too, but they knew it was going to be a black and blue game. And now in the South Central Conference, not that any one of our teams can be that way, but the kids know Hillsboro's going to bring it. we know it's going to be a physical game. You just know that when you go up against them. They're very well coached team, and like I said, a very physical team. So we're going to have to play really well, to get the win this week. It's going to be a tough game for us.
Mike Parmentier, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs. Thank you so much, Mike, for a few minutes of your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Mike Parmentier, good stuff right there.
Oh, I tell you. It's good to hear Mike laugh. Yes. I mean, you know,
But you're right, though, Terry. I think sometimes
we're
guilty of it. Yeah. We get wrapped up. Sure. These are 15, mm-hmm. 16, mm-hmm. 17-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Playing under the Friday night lights. Sure. The whole town's there.
Sure. It's opening night.
It's opening night.
You know, there's going to be a little of that going on, yeah.
And you talked about the heat and the conditioning, you know. And if you remember last year's Staunton-Hillsboro game was pretty much the headline was that long delay at halftime because of the lightning and all the rain mm-hmm. that the field was taking on. So.
That's right. Last week, week two, was a nasty week. The Gillespie-Litchfield game got canceled.
Yeah.
And the weather was a big factor.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'd like to have some rain for next week.
Yeah.
I'll take that, Uncle Ralph, will you?
You'd be very welcome.
We need that.
And a few bean fields.
Yeah, we need a drink.
The amazing thing about that last year when that storm hit on Friday night for all the football games, we hadn't had any rain for 6 weeks.
Right. Oh, it rained hard that night, too. That was like a monsoon.
Yeah, it was.
That night.
Yeah.
Was that opening? That was opening season?
That was
week two.
That was
week two.
Week two last year. Yeah, I almost floated in my car from the Gillespie Press Box.
Yeah, I was at Hillsboro last year. Yeah.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We are back with more high school football talk following these messages. Send your kids back to school with healthy and nutritious farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. For breakfast, give them a tall glass of 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. It'll keep them energized all morning long. Top hot oatmeal or cold cereal with any of the 9 varieties of wholesome Prairie Farms milk. And for an after-school snack, try Prairie Farms yogurt. With Prairie Farms dairy products, your kids will go to the head of the class. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer-owned.
The 2013 Witt Labor Day Celebration is Saturday through Monday. Inviting you to attend the Witt Labor Day Celebration are South Fork Dirt Riders of Taylorville, the Security National Bank in Witt, Fillmore, Coffeen, and Irving, Almond Auctions of Nokomis, German Seed and Chemical of Nokomis, Dirk's Radiator Service of Nokomis, Miller's Lime Service of Fillmore, Prey Carpentry of Nokomis, and Rupert Apartments of Witt, Irving, Nokomis, and Litchfield.
If you have an injury that needs rehabilitation, you need to consider the therapists at Teamwork Rehab. Teamwork Rehab's Hillsborough location offers the only aquatic therapy in Montgomery County. Aquatic therapy provides effective therapeutic treatment for those who have limited tolerances for traditional land-based rehab. Our therapists in this program hold a variety of certifications in specialized aquatic therapy. At Teamwork Rehab, you'll always get one-on-one individualized therapy by a licensed clinician. Give us a call at 532-4160. Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare.
And at 9:45, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. A heat advisory is in effect until 7 o'clock this evening. Partly cloudy skies for today. There is a chance for some rain. Expect a high of around 95 degrees. Partly cloudy skies with a chance of rain for tonight. We'll have a low of around 70. Partly cloudy skies with a chance of rain for tomorrow, expect a high Sunday of around 90 degrees. Extended look at the forecast, Labor Day through Wednesday, it will be clear and cooler. Expect highs in the upper 80s. The lows will be in the low 60s. At 9:46, we have a temperature reading of 86 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:47, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Tobinot, thank you very much. Back here on Sports Saturday, we will take you up to Fighting Illini football at 10:30 this morning here on FM 106. The Illini hosting SIU Carbondale coming up at 10:30. And we will be talking to Pat Rentz coming up following NBC News Radio at 10:04. Right now, we're going to catch up with the head coach of the Nokomis Redskins, Gabe Cesaretti. And Gabe, thanks for a few minutes of your time, and always nice to start off with the W.
It sure was. Thanks a lot, guys. Good morning.
Boy, you piled up the points last night, Gabe.
They did, and I was surprised with the heat last night. Our kids were conditioned. We didn't have any cramping problems or, you know, kids wanting out. It was I was really proud of conditioning.
Now, wait a minute. Nokomis, you're surprised at the conditioning. Now, come on. Come on. This is Nokomis, man.
Well, we got a tough bunch of kids. There's no doubt this year. And, I mean, I was really proud of them. They handled that heat real nicely. And, it was a good job last night.
Well, Gabe, we were talking with Mike Parmentier earlier. It was kind of a tricky situation for high school coaches this year because it wasn't hot all summer long during your preseason work. Now, all of a sudden, game week, it's 100 degrees.
Yeah, not until week one, yeah. But I tell you what, I was super proud of our offensive line last night. The big boys handled the heat. I mean, that was one of the greatest, you know, offensive line performances we've had in a long time. And that's credit. I mean, that's the Slozik and Kaiser and Schieffer and Gross and Brummett. Those guys did a great job. I mean, you got to give credit to Coach Carter and Coach Sobel and Coach Lee also. I mean, that offensive line, I was so proud of them last night. They did a great job.
I'm just curious, specifically, what was it they were doing specifically last night that really stood out to you there?
And, of course, you know, we have the Pavolkas and Chaussies and Rupert's guys run the ball. And they're tremendous athletes. But, I mean, last night, you know, just to see them big guys out in front, 10, 20 yards down from them, knocking people down, I mean, it was fun to watch.
You could have driven a Mack truck through the hole, in other words, right?
Oh, yeah, last night you could have, really.
But, yeah, Gabe, you're right. There's nothing quite like being at a football game and seeing one of the big tackles 10 yards down the field just laying somebody out.
Oh, yeah, and there was even a couple plays. It was 50 yards downfield. They played tremendous last night.
Oh. Well, and how did the evening end up with you? Did you have any problems with any injuries or dings or anything?
No, nothing really. I mean, I heard a little sore this morning, but I mean, nothing major at all. It was a good night for us overall.
Gabe, obviously the Nokomis program has really had a lot of success here the last number of years. What was your focus during this past offseason to keep things moving in the right direction?
This year was, I would say we knew we had some good skill guys coming back, and we lost some good linemen. When you talk about like the Kimbrough's and them guys retiring, and Christian Randall was our tight end last year. We had some good blockers and a good linemen we were losing. But we felt that, like I said, we felt these guys had it in them, and yeah, like I said last night, they proved me right.
And I guess as a coach, you can think a guy can do it, but until I guess you actually see him do it, you never really know. So that had to be a little, I don't know if relief would be the word you would maybe want to use, but you were probably very happy to see the effort and the execution.
Sure, and just like every year, too, like you said, you think they can do it, and then about 2 days before the first game, and you're sick of practice with each other, you know, of course they can do it with each other. You just want to see another team come in and see what they can show. I guess all around we did a great job. Defense played good, too. I mean, it was just an all-around good game. Of course, we made week one mistakes like everybody does, but we'll fix that this week, hopefully, and move on down the road.
Gabe, as you look at the conference for this year, how do you see it shaking out in your opinion?
Well, of course, I mean, everybody's got to beat Alton Marquette. They won it last year, so until, you know, we can knock them off the top, you know, they're the team to beat. I think Mount Olive is going to be better this year. They got a lot of guys coming back. Kincaid should be better this year. I think those are your three teams that are playing. That, you know, they're going to be the three to watch out for us.
And, Gabe, I guess, obviously, we're a long way away from the postseason, but that's where you guys hope to wind up, and you will be in could wind up in a different class this year, correct?
Yeah, we should be in a 2A. Of course, it all see how it pans out, but I would imagine seeing us fall in a 2A if we can get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I would think so. And of course, that's a long way to go, and you know you don't want to be counting those chickens before they're hatched. But certainly, getting off to a good start like you did last night has to be, you know, put you in a very positive mode.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, we got travel over to Decatur next week. And then, Fisher had a big win last night. We'll have them, you know, those are the two we're looking at next. And so we just get back to work on Tuesday. And because we're going to take Labor Day off. Can't get back to work on Tuesday. And, you know, see how we can – see. Like I said, we got some mistakes to fix, but we're feeling happy this morning.
Now, here's the question, Gabe. If you wouldn't have won last night, would they have got Labor Day off? That's the question.
Well – that's not our choice. That's the school board.
Okay.
took the monkey off your back, didn't it?
Gabe Cicerelli, we always appreciate your time on Saturday morning, sir. You got the Redskin program going in the right direction, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Gabe Cicerelli from the Nokomis Redskins. That makes it easy.
Well, that makes it real easy, doesn't it? Just blame it on the school board.
That's right.
So.
Well, we got a few minutes here. We got breaking news.
Oh, boy.
Courtesy of ESPN. Team Tim Tebow released by the Patriots.
Oh, no.
Who cares?
Oh, no. That's just devastating. That's just devastating.
I figured you'd be heartbroken about
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, he might be able to start quarterback for the Toppers.
Well, has he become the Paris Hilton of football? Because he really hasn't done anything.
Yeah, he could be a Paris Hilton. Maybe a Kardashian.
Oh, there you go.
You know,
yeah.
A little more Kardashian, mainstream now, the Kardashian.
Yeah, you
maybe
know.
He can marry a Kardashian.
There you go.
Get a reality TV show.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about these days. You've got to get that reality TV show.
They're all spoken for, though.
Certainly not going to play any football, is he?
Maybe in Canada.
Where will his next meal come from?
Oh,
I do not know. I do not know.
I think and you know what? Fine. I will not lose one iota of sleep worrying about it.
You're so. Not?
No. I know it's shocking.
Oh, my goodness.
I know it's shocking.
Oh.
It's an absolute shock.
I you're going to be up all night. Just
absolutely.
Unable to control yourself.
I have that, yeah.
Ability to separate.
Separate. Yes. Yeah. Compartmentalize.
That's so key. So key and important. So we've been having a lot of fun here this morning on WSMI Sports Saturday. We got the Fighting Illini coming up at 10:30 this morning here on FM 106. So we're going to take you right up to that kickoff at 10:30. We'll have NBC News Radio at the top. We will then talk to Pat Rentz coming out of NBC News Radio at 10:04. But, Terry, despite what some people might think, there actually are other things going on other than football.
Other than football. I know, it's shocking, but our good friend Brooke Beeler from Butler, Hillsborough High School grad, Brookie is still headed towards the LPGA. Our good buddy Dave Kane from the State Journal Register gave me some information that there were 241 golfers in an opening stage of a qualifying round. Brooke finished 42nd. She gets to move to the next stage. If she advances out of that to the third stage, she could end up in the LPGA Tour. So
that's awesome.
I mean, and we know that's where she wants to end up. And, Ralph, I'm she's bound and determined to get there, I think she will get there.
I never saw anyone, male or female, with more determination than she has to achieve what she wants to achieve, whatever it is. And, you know, that's pretty impressive, 42nd.
Oh, yeah.
And that's probably, in turn, we talk about such small percentages of the population being professional athletes, but to be on the PGA or the LPGA, that's probably one of the hardest things to attain, because you have to perform you know, week in, week out, year to year. There are no contracts that are guaranteed. You know, you get your endorsement deals, but as far as you have to perform. If you don't play,
and
you're not going to make
it. And another aspect, which I think perhaps has changed things a bit, is the fact that I think you have so many more competitors outside the United States that are very, very good, that are coming up through the ranks. And, you know, there's just that much more competition.
Especially in the LPGA.
LPGA.
I remember I remember being in high school. We went, as the golf team, we went up to the rail in Springfield.
Mm-hmm. Which don't you miss, you know, that it's sad that Springfield doesn't have that tournament.
It really is. And what an awesome tournament and what a great course it is. But we got to go up there for the LPGA event there, and we got the caddy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough, I was the one guy on the team who got the caddy for an actual pro.
Oh.
Tish Sorrento was her name.
Mm-hmm.
She was terrible.
Yeah.
For a professional golfer, just awful, but yet awesome. We're standing there. I'm carrying this big bag, and she tells me on the first tee, I drank a couple cups of coffee this morning. Shouldn't have done it. I never play good when I drink coffee. What is this lady talking about? She's crazy, you know? It's like she plays the first, like, few holes, you know, even par. Yeah. She's beside herself. And then we're, like, standing, like, on the sixth tee or something. She's like, all right, coffee's out of my system. I should be good to go now, and like birdie in every hole. Like, are you serious? Like, that's amazing. But just, it was staggering to watch it firsthand right there, just the skill level of these golfers. Amazing.
But the real question is, she didn't like operating with coffee?
I know. Hey,
what is that
about? I was too young at the time. I didn't fully appreciate coffee at that time. If she would have said that to me now, I'd have dropped the bag. Like, I'm out. I can't work under these conditions. I'm out of here.
You know, guys, real quick, we're about out of time, but one of the amazing things about Brooke Beeler, anyone who has not seen Brooke play golf and sees her for the first time, now here's a gal.
The driver's bigger than she is.
She says she's 5 foot, but anyhow, and she steps up there and she swings and whops that ball, and it's just like a rocket, and people's looking. She hit that ball like that, you know. She is tremendous.
Club head speed.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, so good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
That's awesome.
Good luck. Wouldn't that be great to have another LPGA pro following Mary in the footsteps of Mary Beth Zimmerman.
Right. Yeah.
That'd be terrific.
Be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
What a way to make a living.
Oh, yeah, yeah. By the way, the change of subject from golf to soccer, the Carlinville Kickoff Classic got underway this morning. There are games at Lott Field and Davis Anderson Fields, kind of a round-robin pool play situation. Games will run till 4:30. Final set of games start at 4:30 this afternoon. So a lot of the local high schools are involved. Lincolnwood, Gillespie, Jerseyville, Carlinville, Staunton, Hillsborough, Litchfield. Hillsborough, Litchfield playing right now or coming up at 10:30. So that'll be a big early season test for those two ball clubs. Of course, Carlinville, Springfield Southeast, East Dalton Wood River, Springfield Lutheran. So it's always a good early season tournament for our area teams here. And it's going to wrap up. It usually wraps up on Labor Day. It's going to wrap up on Thursday.
I think each team will play twice today.
And then they'll go into the various other designations of pool play and, you know, they'll shake it out from there. So we'll figure it out as we go along. Just show up on the right day.
There you go.
They'll email the coaches. Show up today. Show up on this day at this time, and you'll play. Okay, that's cool. Of course, it would be a lot easier with brackets. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's not a tournament without brackets.
You know, no. we'll go there in a different time.
That's for a different show.
That's for a different show.
So the high school sports season is officially off and rolling. Now, all sorts of action for you. And we're going to have more Sports Saturday for you as well. We're going to have NBC News Radio coming up here at the top of the hour. Following NBC News Radio, we will talk to Pat Rince, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, and the Fighting Illini coming up at 10:30. They will host SIU Carbondale this morning. Live coverage 10:30 here on FM 106. More Sports Saturday coming up here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. And we are back on WSMI Sports Saturday overtime.
Oh, my God. Can we handle it?
I don't think so.
Well, that's why we have Illini to bail us out at 10:30, right?
Oh, boy. They're bailing us out. We're in trouble. The Illini will play host to SIU Carbondale. Live coverage for you coming up bottom of the hour here on FM 106. And we're taking Sports Saturday into overtime. We're going to be talking to Pat Rince of the Litchfield Purple Panthers coming up here in just a moment.
Plus, we've got Cardinals baseball. They will wrap up their series with Pittsburgh tomorrow. We'll have coverage for you beginning at 11:40 Sunday morning on AM 1540. So, and then, of course, the day game with the Cincinnati Reds on Monday. So
the Labor Day.
Labor Day holiday.
Yes.
Oh, it's here already.
Hard to believe. The official end of summer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the unofficial official end of summer.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Kind of, you know, the intentional, unintentional walk. It's all governed by the foul pole syndrome.
Yes,
you
know, I love that foul pole syndrome.
That's right. The foul pole syndrome takes precedence in how things unfold in this universe. So it's crazy.
While we have a few moments here on Sports Saturday, obviously the high school football season kicked off last night and a lot of scores around the state.
Yes, a lot of scores around the state. And just a few other scores with teams involved in the WIVC. Of course, they don't play their division. They play the teams from the other division here. So last night, Brown County defeated Greenfield Northwestern 8-6, one of those old low-scoring games that you don't often see. Carrollton rolled up 64 points. The Hawks beat Jacksonville ISD 64-0. It was Calhoun 20, Jacksonville Route 12. Pleasant Hill got by Triopia 12-8. Camp Point Central, 47, North Green, 13, and Mendon Unity beat Winchester, 38-12. Coming up tonight, Oblong will be at Mount Olive. Coming up next week now, in the South Central Conference, Gillespie will be at Litchfield, Hillsboro at Staunton. Those will be our broadcast features on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. Vandalia at Carlinville, Greenville at Southwestern, and Pena will be at Roxana. Next week in the Sangamo Conference, North Mac entertains Williamsville, New Berlin at Pawnee, Athens entertains Auburn, Sangamon Valley at Pleasant Plains, and Riverton at Petersburg Porta. Non-conference play next week. Bunker Hill will be at Mount Olive. That'll be the non-conference. Those two teams will play twice, but that'll be the non-conference game. Nokomis will be at Decatur Lutheran. Again, those two teams will play twice, but that'll be the non-conference game. St. Thomas More will be at Kincaid South Fork. Quincy Notre Dame entertains Alton Marquette. Metro East Lutheran at East Altonwood River. Mendon Unity at Greenfield. It'll be Triopia at Carrollton. Calhoun at Camp Point Central.
Sorry,
did
Terry.
Did you get the message across?
Jacksonville
ISD at Pleasant Hill. North Green at Jacksonville Route and Brown County at Winchester. You'll have to wait for the director's cut to.
Oh, my goodness. Good thing we don't have a webcam. I think we have Pat Rince on the phone. I think. Yes, we do. Pat Rince, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, joining us now on WSMI Sports Saturday. And, Pat, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. And I guess before we really get into too much, do you have any update on Ryan Howard?
We have no official word yet. Going to try to get in today and possibly get an MRI scheduled. But that may not even get read till next Tuesday or this coming Tuesday. With the weekend, so.
And that obviously kind of put a bit of a damper on last night. But before that, boy, did Litchfield look, to me, like a completely different club. I loved the mentality and the aggressiveness that you guys brought to the field last night.
Yeah, thank you. You know, we are so proud of the boys. And, you know, regardless of how the game ended, you know, a lot of positives that were taken away from last night. The boys, like you said, came out fighting hard, were confident, were prepared. You know, you go in to face Greenville, and you know that you're in for a battle. And the boys were ready for that challenge. And, you know, I told them after the game, too, they were executing the game plan perfectly, kept fighting. They stayed together as a team. And so, yeah, you just made you feel terrible anytime anybody gets injured like that. And so a little bit heartbroken, but yet still very, very proud of the boys.
But anytime something like this happens, Pat, it's a teaching moment, and you're an educator.
Absolutely.
Even though you're a football coach, you're still an educator.
Absolutely. Yeah, our theme this year is Row the Boat. And Row the Boat is it's a teaching tool for facing adversity. You know, you go through that adversity and, you know, you're out in the middle of the ocean and you get caught in a storm. You know, you kind of got two options. You can kind of just feel bad for yourself and wish that you weren't there. But we try to preach that mentality of, you know what, we're going to keep rowing. And you know, we've had that message all summer. And you hope that you don't have to really use it, but boy, did it come up last night. And it's tough. You know, Ryan staying positive. You know, and he keeps saying row the boat. You know, because he's gonna try to fight back as hard as he can and be healthy and still support the team and be at practice and do what he can do. So you're absolutely right. This is a great testament of facing that adversity and not giving up and not quitting.
Coach, what exactly happened on the play? Because we were kind of shielded from the injury. All I saw was he went in for a tackle, and initially I thought it was a shoulder because he hit Hutch down low. But I had no vision on what happened in his lower half. Did he just get like his knee twisted, or what exactly happened? Do you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. He came up on the sideline, made a hit, and on the plant, you know, to make the tackle, knee buckled. And shoulder was the first thing we thought too, and went over, and he knew right away it was me. And outlook doesn't look great, but then again, you know, you never know till you hear the final word from the doctor. So
I will say, go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry.
Ryan's a great kid. You know, he feels terrible, of course. You know, wants to be out there for his teammates and finish the game and finish what they started. And but we just, you know, have been thrilled with him and wish him the best and a speedy recovery.
Well, Pat, I think what just made that situation feel even worse was he was having such a great game. He had that pick six that looked like it was going to be the springboard to this great upset win. And then when he got hurt, now tell me if I'm wrong, I might be, but I thought that you guys, and it's human nature, once he got hurt, there was just maybe a little bit, I don't know if relax is the right word, but almost like a bit of a shock period for your club. And in the span of 3 minutes, all of a sudden you went from up to down 20. It was staggering.
Yeah, it was incredibly deflating. You know, it's what we play a game, and it's my favorite game, obviously, but it's still a game. And I think it's tough when that, you know, our team has grown really close and everybody included really, really got behind Howard. And to see that guy go down and see him go down the way he did, it was just so deflating. And, you know, big picture, I think the rest of the team was just, they were hurting for Ryan, and it was hard. It was really hard. And, you know, that's something that I was really, really trying to manage and keep with the guys. And it was just tough. You know, it was tough to keep fighting. And they did keep fighting. You know, the other issue is we knew coming back that second half, Greenville wasn't going to stop playing.
Right.
Just because we were winners. You know, they were going to make a push. And so we knew that, and we were expecting that. And then to have that happen early in the second half was tough.
Coach, you've got a full week to prepare for that Gillespie game, but you ended up using two other quarterbacks in last night's game. Do you have an idea of who you're leaning towards? Are you just going to, you know, play with a competition in practice and go with a hot hand?
Yeah, we've got, you know, those guys, and we've been talking to them this morning as well. That's a tough spot to fill. You know, when your starting quarterback goes down with an injury, you're playing Greenville, opening game at Greenville, and they both stepped in. They did a wonderful job and did an excellent job of taking the accountability and pumping the team up and taking on that leadership role to the best of their ability. So we were really, really pleased for David Seaball and Connor Simmons, the way they stepped up. But you're absolutely right. It's kind of back to back to the depth chart and try to build some depth at that position and make sure these guys are getting as many reps as they can get so they're ready to go next Friday night. And like you said, we'll kind of see how things start coming together throughout the week.
And, Pat, when you're playing Greenville, you usually have to do maybe some things that you wouldn't normally do. And lo and behold, like I think it was like the first drive, all of a sudden you're faced with a 4th-and-1 on your own 40. Just kind of take us through the mindset, your first major decision as a head coach to go for it on 4th-and-1 on your own side of the field.
Well, you know, just like you said, we want a team that comes out aggressive. And you know, it's such a fun game.
Right.
And to be in that atmosphere on a Friday night, you know, we've been – everybody's been busting their tails all summer, and you finally get to that point where the Friday night lights are on, and you know, I think you can see we were just having fun out there.
Yeah.
Both sides. It was a heck of a game, and you know, the coaching staff put in a lot of preparation, a lot of work. The boys worked hard, and we knew we were ready, and so we were just feeling confident and excited, and we're ready to go for it.
Pat,
Greenville, everything we had.
Once you were named the head football coach, I don't think I've heard a buzz about Litchfield football like I've heard here in recent months. This has been absolutely amazing, and you bring such a positive mindset to the game. I think it's just really exciting for Litchfield High School football.
Thank you very much. No, there's no doubt that it's an exciting time to be a part of the Panther football program and the community. Is really getting behind our boys, and you know, we had a mother son night just this week, and we had to make an extra run out to Walmart to get more food.
Well,
there were so many people there. So
good problem to have.
It's a great problem, and the support we had last night was just electric for being at an away game facing a tough opponent. We're all very, very excited.
Coach, we're seeing a lot more of the option in the spread offense, and you guys last night came out under center, power formation. Was that similar to the offense that you ran when you were a quarterback in this Litchfield High School football team?
It is a little bit similar. You know, we had a little bit of a desire to get back to a more balanced attack, and it is something that I'm a little bit familiar with. Coach Kassebaum is calling our offense and is doing a great job there. And, you know, really, as a coach, you don't want to get stuck in, well, I know that this is the right offense to run. Really, you want to put your guys in the best position to be successful. And so we just felt like this offense was what best fit suited us or was best fit for our personnel.
You did your homework.
That's right.
Yeah. We've been working hard, and Coach Kassebaum did a great job of getting those guys ready.
Pat, being a Litchfield guy, you got to tell us, before the kickoff last night, you're standing on the sidelines, you see your kids out there ready to kick it away. What's going through your mind?
Oh, man, so excited. You know, you wish you could be out there with them, you know, because you're thinking back to your days, and you're just so proud of the work that they've put in, the fact that you know it means a lot to them and the communities behind them, and it was so exciting. You know, there's some nerves going, even as a coach. You know, you're hoping that you've prepared as you know for every scenario, and you're kind of trying to manage the boys' emotions because they're excited and they're nervous, and it was just great. It doesn't get much better than Friday night.
Well, and I want to know what it's like because it wasn't too long ago that you were playing under Coach Kassebaum, as you mentioned, and now he's a colleague of yours. What's that like?
You know that it's a great relationship, and I have that blessing with several of the coaches. In football and track with Coach Newkirk and Coach Elvers now, and it's great. I wouldn't trade it for anything because it's you know those are the guys that I was working hard for when I was a player, and now I get to work with them, and you know I will always have a ton of respect for those guys, and so I feel just thrilled to have the ability to coach with them and work with them now.
Pat Rich, we thank you so much for some of your time this morning. I think it's safe to say that we are entering a new era for the Litchfield Purple Panthers football program. We look forward to seeing you next week and talk to you next Saturday morning. Thanks for your time.
Very good. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Pat Rince, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. And
keep rowing, huh?
Keep rowing. There you go. How about that?
You might run into land.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. It is good stuff. So.
You know, and it's funny, like teams, they'll have their slogans and mm-hmm. – lo and behold, in the third quarter of the first game, it's put to the test.
Well, and listening to Pat's talking about Ryan when Ryan Howard got hurt, and he was saying, you know, Ryan was still saying, row the boat, row the boat, row the boat, you know. And that's one of those things where you know you've made the impression.
That's right.
And to carry it a step further, and Dave, you brought up he's working with Coach Kassebaum. Andy Kassebaum, what a valuable man.
What doesn't he do for Litchfield?
I tell you what a valuable guy to have. My goodness gracious. Just, you know, advice, his demeanor, he's seen it all, basically. He's been there, done that. Just a great guy to have in the Litchfield program.
His demeanor.
Yes.
I mean, if you're just looking at him, you don't know if they're winning by 30, losing by 30, or if it's tied. Yeah. You just can't tell.
You know, the wheels are spinning constantly with Andy, and just a great guy to have as part of any of the athletic program. It really is.
But doing that game last night, I could tell just basically after a few plays that the mentality of Litchfield was different than I've seen it in years past. You can sense these things. You know, you can tell.
Sure.
And you could tell that Litchfield came out with the purpose that they were ready to hit some people.
And now Litchfield has an opportunity going in against a Gillespie team that's obviously going to be pretty good this year, I think. And, you know, here's an opportunity to put row the boat to test
again.
That's
exactly right.
Because you're you're going to be asked to step up. These players that are, you know, going to be playing out of position for their first time, or maybe not necessarily out of position, but in a starting role for the first time, you know, they're going to be asked to step in and take over control, and that's not easy to do.
Think about the atmosphere that will be at Lloyd Hill Field next Friday night. I mean, that place is nuts anyway.
Well,
and with the hype and the expectation and the excitement, that place is going to be rockets.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and we talked about the backup quarterback situation. I thought David Seabaugh, he threw a really nice tight spiral, and he's got an arm on him, so it's not like they're in trouble.
Well, you know, and that just gives him options.
Yeah,
exactly.
Litchfield's back to options.
We talk about when you lose your quarterback in the middle of a game, you're in trouble. It doesn't matter what team you are, you're in trouble because we're not a 6-8.
He's your guy.
You don't have scholarships that you're handing out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a tough. A tough situation, but I thought Litchfield handled it extremely well. And as you said, the final score, forget about the final score. Greenville was worried.
Yeah.
They were worried coming out of the locker room at halftime. They were concerned. They had to be because Litchfield was taking it to them.
And, boy, that was a long game last night.
Oh, man, it was. Well, we heard Mike Parmentier from Staunton talk about the length of their game, and I guess a lot of that did have to do with the extra water stoppages and all that. And, obviously, that's a good thing. But, yeah, when a high school football game hits 10 o'clock and you're not done and you started at 7, you're looking around like, golly.
It's kind of like when Angel Hernandez umpires.
Oh, my goodness. Can't be that bad, I hope.
Well, three and a half hours, we're only in the sixth.
With what happened with what happened in the second half of our football game with Howard going down, it made it seem like the game was going by even longer, and the fact that Greenville was scoring each time, and it was just like, wow, you know.
Just think of from the Litchfield kids' perspective, and just being kids, you until you experience something like that, and you don't ever want to have to do that, but you do sometimes in life. You know, they've had it through their system now, and now they will move on from there.
And what we saw really the last 5 minutes of that third quarter is just simply vintage Greenville.
Yeah,
that's what Greenville's been doing, not to Litchfield. They've been doing it to every team, really in the state, for a long, long time now. They can break your heart in a hurry. It is staggering. They had back-to-back one-play touchdown drives. Just so much speed, so much athleticism, so many options. They spread you out with four or five wide. Then they can slip Hutch in there on the draw. They got running backs. But here's the biggest concern that I have, Terry. Okay.
Okay.
We've got Hutch. Okay. Yeah. Todd Hutchinson, head coach. We've got Tyler Hutchinson, his son, 6'5", who we like to call Little Hutch. Because he's 6'5", and he's Hutch's kid.
And Todd likes the fact that we call him Little Hutch.
Okay, but we got a problem now.
Well, I know we got another problem.
Because
2.0.
We got another Hutchinson on the team now.
Yeah.
Freshman. His little brother's a freshman.
Ryan Hutchinson.
So I don't know what to call him. Is he really Little Hutch? Smaller Hutch? Freshman Hutch?
Little Hutch .2.
Little Hutch .2? I don't know.
Little Hutch Tyler is 6'5", 205.
But that's
so
the beauty of the Little Hutch. Yeah. Because
he's 6'5". That's why Todd likes that. That's a marvelous thing to have.
Oh,
coaches having, you know, Chad's got Job, and you know, it's just a neat thing when coaches have their kids involved.
And that's the neat thing about this Greenville-Carlinville of rivalry here over the next few years. Not only are the clubs outstanding.
That'll be a game we have on the radio.
Oh, yeah. I think that's week three or week four.
Week three or four, yeah.
And if you're Greenville on the injury front, you're hoping that it was just cramps for both Dalton Young and Eric Turok as they were really hampered in that second half, spent a lot of time on the bench. Turok, in fact, had was laying on the trainer's table with ice on his hamstring. So you just hope it's cramps and in the legs.
Well, if we get a cooler week, you know, that'll go a long way in helping everybody.
I think
everybody.
It's supposed to cool off next week.
Well, Monday, I think they're talking about highs in the low 80s.
Yeah,
so
we'll take
that. And if we could shake loose a little rain, that would help as well. But you know, that's not up to me. So
no, that may not be happening.
So everybody go out there and wash your car. We've got the Labor Day homecoming this weekend. So, you know, we've got everything set up to bring rain to the area. So.
Doing their part.
Doing your part. That's right. Everybody do your part. So
we are about 6 minutes away from Fighting Illini football here on FM 106. The Illini will be hosting SIU Carbondale this morning live at 10:30 here on WSMI FM.
By the way, you can find podcasts of all of our sporting events on our website, WSMIRadio.com. And, of course, we stream all of our high school sporting events live when we broadcast them. So
I guess, Terry, while we have a few minutes left here in the program, maybe we can run down the scores one more time.
Sure. In South Central play last night, Greenville defeated Litchfield 54-27. Hillsboro over Southwestern 33-19. Carlinville rolls over Roxana 45-15, Gillespie 46, Vandalia 12, and Staunton beat Pena 28-13. It was Bunker Hill losing to Metro East Lutheran in Prairie State Conference play 34-27. In the Sangamo last night, this is another black and blue conference,
yes.
I tell you. Brutal. Williamsville 46, Sangamon Valley 6. New Berlin beat Porta 25-18. Athens 22, Riverton 14. Auburn, a mere 56-point night. 56-21 over Pleasant Plains. And Pawnee beat North Mac 44-29.
And you mentioned the Williamsville score. We had made a comment earlier about, surprised they give up 6 points. Well, Louie Lang, our buddy Louie, had the game last night. He called during one of our last breaks. He just wanted to let us know that those 6 points were actually scored on Williamsville's third string. So there you go.
Thanks, Louie. We hope Louie gets back to being a weather watcher.
That's right.
Maybe it's some rain. So, another non-conference games last night. Nokomis romped over Westland 52-14. As we heard Coach Gabe Cesaretti said that the offensive line has probably played as good as it's played in many a year.
When you hear a coach make a comment like that, you know they were
impressive. Boy, you could almost feel the smile on Gabe this morning, couldn't you? Palestine got by Kincaid South Fork 20-19. Priory out of St. Louis shut out Alton Marquette 43-0. Brown County beat Greenfield Northwestern 8-6. Carrollton 64, Jacksonville ISD 0. Calhoun over Jacksonville Route 20-12. Pleasant Hill 12, Triopia 8. Camp Point Central beat North Green 47-13, and Mendon Unity down Winchester 38-12. All the scores that we get are on the website this morning under sports on WSMIRadio.com. We're going to be putting those up there every Saturday morning. So,
and we're going to have a doubleheader for you Friday night.
Every Friday night next week, Gillespie-Litchfield.
That's good.
And Hillsboro-Staunton.
That's good, too.
A couple of real good ball games, I suspect, in week number two.
That's right, and we'll have our pregame show at 6:30.
Yeah, 6:30, the Pizza Man pregame show, 6:30 on both WSMI-FM 106 and WAOX. And when you look at the South Central Conference, as always, you know, not an easy conference to navigate through. But Greenville, again, until somebody knocks them off, and Carlinville, I think, are two teams that are at the top of the pack.
Yeah.
But, boy, you know, you got people just kind of bubbling under the top here, ready to make a move. So it should be a fun year in the South Central.
Vandalia's probably in that discussion as well. They're tough on their home field.
Well, Vandalia is one of those teams. I never care what their record is.
Yeah.
They're always tough. They're kind of like Hillsboro to me. Like, they're such a physical club, it seems to me, year in, year out, to where they've got a chance to win any game.
It's reputation.
That's right.
You know, they've got the reputation of just being an ornery team to try to beat. And you know, sometimes teams buy into that and it works against them. So, although Gillespie beat them last night 46-12. So, you know, a good opening night for the Miners. So.
Yes. So it'll be interesting to see the South Central Conference at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be very interested to see what the bottom team has in terms of wins. I think it's going to be a bigger number
than it's been in years past.
I think so.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, South Central is going to get five teams in the playoffs.
Yes, I think so.
I don't think there's going to be any problem with that. So,
going to be another good year for the South Central Conference. Yeah. So week one is in the books, and it was a lot of fun last night across Illinois.
And Cardinal baseball coming up tomorrow afternoon, or tomorrow morning, actually, 11:40 on AM 1540 with the Pirates. And then on Monday, Labor Day, the game with the Cincinnati Reds.
The Cardinals just don't get swept in Pittsburgh and don't lose 3 out of 4 in Cincinnati.
Sure, sure. I mean, it's,
do that, and it's not disastrous.
If you get swept, it could be disastrous. Cardinals, you know, very quickly last night, Shelby Miller, what I saw of him, just didn't look very confident last night. And Francisco Liriano is a guy who could be on my team. He's a lefty, and he hits the corners.
Cy Young, whenever he faces the Cardinals.
Boy, he is. He's the new Bud Norris.
Yes,
the Pirates are the only team. The Pirates are the only team that the Cardinals have not beat in a Shelby Miller start in the division.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
The Cardinals have had their trouble with the Pirates for a number of years.
Yes. Even when the Pirates were not very good.
That's right.
But the thing is, they got some bullpen help coming.
That's true. Yeah. Speaking of trouble, the Illini have had trouble with pretty much everybody over the course of time.
For football. Yeah, for football.
For football. And they got SIU Carbondale coming up at 11 o'clock. The pregame show just moments away here on your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville for Tobin, Harry, David, Uncle Ralph, I am Tim. Sports Saturday is done. We'll be back with you next Saturday morning, 9:05 here on FM 106. It is time now for Fighting Illini Football on WQSMI.